Oh, hey, I didn't see you there. Come on in. I'm just sat over here with the latest episode of Esposito. I'm John, by the way, the games master of Esposito. Of course, you should know that by now. You've been listening up until this episode, which is an episode in the order. I think it's around 21. Should have checked that first, shouldn't I? Pull up a seat. Grab yourself a drink. Listen to five idiots doing idiot things in space. If you've got the time, why not leave us a review? We'd love that. If you don't, that's fine. Maybe just a rating. You don't need to do anything at all if you don't want to. Just sit back and enjoy the dulcet and then horrifying tones of Esposito. Peace out, y'all. Oh dear. Okay, good. Right.
Anyway, we'll be swiftly on.
What are you doing now? So I'm just going to fast forward. The Golden Rose is fairly swiftly upgraded with some stealth tech.
Do I get a response for the text or no?
Right, yeah. So you send that text to Phileas Flimflam. The response is, this information will cost 100 cubits.
Oh, my days. I text back. How much would a recording of a Dendu ambassador saying they would like peace with the dwarves cost you?
Do you have a recording of that?
He said, I have this hazy memory of asking the ambassador to record a message to the dwarves.
Oh, shit, yeah, you did do that. I assume you did that. The response is like for like.
Any emojis or anything? Or
No. Phineas does not truck with that shit.
A message back saying, no emojis, question mark?
Phineas does not truck with that shit. Is the typed response you get.
You a cold motherfucker. And in short, no. I think this is worth more than what you're offering me. But just know that I have it. And should a day come where you really want that, it's going to cost more. Dollar, dollar, dollar bill. Dollar, dollar, dollar bill. Not even emojis, just the words.
The response you get is, very well. Just remember, I'm the information broker.
Yeah, but I have some information that you don't have. So who's the real broke?
Was Dora's speech yet then? I know something you don't know.
Pretty much.
And the response you get to that is, oh no, I'm getting another message through. Sorry, I'll have to get back to you later.
A message back saying, nobody texts that.
Sorry, I'm having my SIM tech service uphauled. I have no access. Fuck off, Dora.
I just text back the three water droplets emoji.
I don't know what that means.
It's not safe for our listeners.
Okay. Good. Okay. Glad that has been heard. So yes, the Golden Rose is now upgraded with some Infinity Core stealth tech on loan to you from the Infinity Core, not given to you.
Whatever.
What do you guys do?
I suppose, unless anyone's got any objections, head to Mars?
Ah, oh, yeah, Mars. Mars is great. I once had an orgy with a 10 Kesh on Mars.
Oh,
great.
God. Stop ruining planets for me, Dora.
I wonder if that place is still open.
As you reboard the Golden Rose, you can see Jimmo is sat there with his eyebrows now removed and lowered down as low as they can go, his approximation of a frown. And he says, "No one came."
Jimmo, mate, better news. We're going to Mars. Remember that Kesh orgy?
Not really. I know it happened. Don't get me wrong. I know it occurred. But I don't remember it.
That's my point. You were blottoed.
When's Jimmo not blottoed on Mars?
We're going to have to watch that, guys. And I'll say that to everybody. By the way, guys, just full disclaimer. When Jimmo gets on Mars, well, no words. No words. So just keep an eye out.
Mars is Jimmo's party word.
Also, Jimmo, nobody came on the ship. Good work.
I didn't think of it like that. Thank you, Prime Officer. What is it he calls you instead of First Officer?
Head bitch in charge.
All right, I won't say that because it seems disrespectful, but thank you.
I thought so too, but did not realize this was not military rank. I will have words.
George's little side glance again. Head bitch in charge.
Brought an insight check again.
Okay. 13.
Still seem pretty neutral.
No, where is this going?
I don't know. You keep asking. Tom, I want you to set a DC for you. I don't feel comfortable with this, but I'm doing it anyway. Set a DC.
I think it's infinite, and it's always going to be neutral.
Yeah, no matter what he rolls.
Yeah, I'm happy with that. No matter what, you'll always get neutral. But every time you look, I'll make you check.
Okay.
You get a look as neutral as his gender.
Okay. So, yeah, so you're setting course for Mars, yes? That's what you're doing?
Do we want to go to the Bastion first? Is it worth it? I don't know. More pressing matters at hand, I suppose.
Oh, God, yeah, I forgot the Bastion. Yeah, we'll go there first. We needed to see the proper government, didn't we?
Conclave. Or is Korchev sorting that out, do we think?
I mean, it is complicated. The Conclave isn't a government. The Conclave is a military force.
Just to restrict, John, have you planned for the Conclave or not?
I have not, no, but...
Then Mars it is.
Mars!
It sounded like Korchev was going to do the asking for us.
The Conclave is, just so you know, it's a peacekeeping force.
So we cannot rely on their support at all. We might as well go to Mars.
No, really, you can't. Like, they will enforce galactic law, but they will not respond to an invasion.
They will write a letter telling you how angry they are.
Yeah.
Damn you, Space Banky Moon.
And by responding to you breaking galactic law, what it means is they'll send some troops there to show that they're unhappy with it. But the troops can't do anything. They have no legal ability to do anything about what's going on.
Like the police when they encounter a picnic in the park.
They can fine you.
Why did you say picnic like Yogi Bear?
A picnic in the park.
Oh no, Boo, we should be social distancing.
It could be something to do with...
Hey, I love a picnic.
A picnic in a park. I mean, it could be something.
Why
to do
am
with
I only wearing a tie on my neck?
It's a collar too. And a hat.
But it doesn't cover his junk.
Do you think he like midnights as one of those like topless butlers?
Well, yeah, we're definitely coming back to the Bastion for some...
Like, egoism. I made a note to prepare for the Bastion, but I'll be honest, the stuff with Korchev took so long to prepare.
Fun seeing him again. And it made me think about where the hell Pax is.
Picnics.
I know where Pax is.
He's on Mars! Let's go to Mars!
He is now.
Where's Jefferson's, like, junk asteroid?
Oh, that's somewhere on the Outer Rim. Like, that is nowhere near.
Setting a course for the Outer Rim.
I do think I have a note on where Jefferson is somewhere, but it's inconsequential.
I now know where Pax is. I've just realised.
Have you?
Where'd be he?
I'm not going to ruin it.
Go on, ruin it.
I'm so curious. Where do you think Pax is?
I think he mentioned there was Promethean conflict. He may be the fleet admiral of the Prometheans at the moment and playing against his ex-lover, Korchev.
That's excellent.
That
would be good.
Oh, if Pax was in command of an army, dead. Everyone would be dead.
Pax isn't dead. Anyway. Or is he? He might be.
So intrigued. What about D4 and Prim?
They're dead.
Yeah, D4's definitely dead. Like, an Ashen Forge lifespan is 50 years max.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
And it's been Prim.
Yeah, they're dead. They are definitely dead.
Pretty brutal.
This is 70 years after season one, is it?
70 yeah, 50 years.
50 years.
Yeah, so they're well past the lifespans. I think we established this at the end of season one.
Yeah, we did. We had a little sad moment where we realised that they had the most beautiful ending to season one, and then they'd definitely be dead by season two.
Well, I feel like that means they deserved it.
In their little convertible car. What was it? It's like a hovercraft or something.
It was Shinetop's car, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, so you set course for Mars. You leave the Infinity Corps fleet and you make your way back towards the Crucible to jump to the Sol system. You arrive just beyond Pluto. Nearby on your scanners, you pick up the Infinity Corps surveillance team.
Presumably we have some code or some kind of access that we can send their way just so they don't think we're an enemy or...
Yeah, HUD, you can send through your Special Forces serial number and that will register as active. So they're not bothering you, but they're also not paying much attention to you at all.
Is Mars fully terraformed at this point? Is it a full-on habitable planet?
Mars has biodomes.
In that case, could I have requested some void suits for us while we were at the Infinity Corps?
I'm going to say yes, because there were some already aboard the Rose. You had some Dendu bio suits that would fit Belchov and Dumas and Rebook. So yeah, you have the necessary equipment to be traversing a void atmosphere.
It's a thermal suit as well, but presumably that doesn't count. Or is that
obviously doesn't count, but that might be nice.
Cool.
So there are a number of Zamaron patrols. They don't seem to get much past Jupiter, but there are Zamaron patrols, and these are wings of 8 fighters or so that are heading out. They're moving in predictable patterns eventually, because that's the way that you have gathered Zamaron tend to operate. Both ships need to roll a piloting maneuver in order to use the stealth and evade these Zamaron patrols. Both ships have got advantage. HUD, you're rolling for the HMS Dendu ship. Mike, can you roll for Darren, as Dora is the captain of the ship? So you roll and add 6 to that roll.
22.
Ooh, nice. That's 24 for me.
Both ships managed to fairly easily split past these Zamaron patrols and enter the region of Mars. I'm not quite sure how close you want to get yet.
Are we close enough to scan the planet for any downed ships?
Okay, so in that case, who's going to do the scan, I guess, for this whole thing?
I read you over. Dr. Ritchie, how are you feeling, mate? Got a hangover, or...?
I don't know why I'd have a hangover. I've only had coffee, but I am feeling a little bit rougher than usual. It's very surprising. I did not expect it. It must be that space Nigerian coffee or something.
Yeah, that's probably it. Why did you do the scan of Mars?
I suppose I could have a scan of the planet. Yeah, that's not a problem at all. Let's see what we can do here.
Does he roll with disadvantage because he's hungover or drunk?
I might give him minus D4 on it, but only because you asked. He's still pretty good.
Oh.
So I've identified 2 sources on Mars for what could possibly be a Zamaron crash site. I'm not sure, because we've not come across many of these where it's like they could be intact or they could be crashed. So either one of them could be a crashed ship or possibly a landed ship. There's one in the northeast hemisphere and there's one in the southeast hemisphere. So if you decide what you want to do, then that's fine by me. I could try and do a little bit more scanning, maybe try and extrapolate which is more likely, but I cannot guarantee any success there if I may be so bold.
Are they both in the sun at the moment, or...?
They are.
Okay. Well, why don't we flip a coin?
Sure.
Flip a cubel.
There's got to be more information we can glean. It seems a bit arbitrary just picking one, right?
I mean, could we make scan for like life signs, heat, movement, that sort of thing?
Yeah, you could do a xenobiology with wisdom, I'm going to say. So what I mean by that, and I was looking closely at the rules today, xenobiology is usually an intelligence check. However, you could do a xenobiology check with wisdom in order to try and discern which has active life signs and which has just simply heat signatures. It could turn out that both of them are crashed, but at the minute, there's very little way of telling. You've just got the energy signatures.
I've got proficiency in xenobiology, but I've also got a minus one to my wisdom, so I think I break even with not being the best person to do that.
I do not have any skills which could be relevant here. Given that I've never been off my planet, xenobiology is not my bag.
You break even with me if I was to do a straight wisdom check, Aaron. So you might, and you roll better than me, so you might as well do it.
I've got a plus three to wisdom.
Oh, there we go.
I will give that a try. Online, because I realise I don't actually have my dice with me, and it's got to this stage where this late in the night, I've only realised I don't have my dice. So, but if
you
want to...
Why don't you have your dice with you? That's insane.
I know,
that's
right? Great... What an amateur.
It's keys, wallet, dice.
Right, here comes the online dice roll of a d20. And it's a natural 20.
Nice.
Nice.
The best roll you've ever done.
Yeet.
I'm going to use the online dice rollers more often. Yeah, so 23 altogether, John.
Virtual yeet.
I've inferred that yeet is good now.
Yeah, if you yeeted your dice across the table and got a 20.
Could I yeet all over your face?
I mean, no, you could yeet someone's face from their body, though.
You could yeet onto my face.
None of this is what I expect.
No, I'm just trying to figure out the parameters within which I can use this word.
Could I yeet in someone's eyes?
No.
Depends what you're yeeting.
Could I yeet on someone's bowl of cereal?
You can't yeet onto anything. Well, you could yeet something onto a ledge.
I think yeet at would be more appropriate.
Yeah.
You could eat some cream into my coffee.
Yeah, you could eat some cream at your coffee.
Is yeet just throw? Is that what yeet is?
Essentially yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I so did not pick up on that.
You can't yeet something into something.
I thought it was
you can
bad.
Only at it.
You could, yeah.
If it goes in, then, you know, even better, but you just...
I mean, yeet is generally a good thing. If you're eating something...
Yeah, if you're eating something, it is good.
It's a powerful throw.
So it's a power play.
Objection there is sublime.
So looking at the information that's being sent over by Dr. Rich, you focus in on these two signatures and examine the sort of the biological undertows of them and the general movement around them, and you identify that the southeast hemisphere looks more like a landed wing of Zamoran fighters, whilst the northeast hemisphere signal, the pattern on the landscape around it and the movement around it suggests there's fewer creatures there and more likely this is a crashed ship.
I pass that information on. I think this is our safer option.
Let's head to the crash site then.
Now, I know, just to play devil's advocate here, would it not be nice to catch a Zamoran live?
Who are we going to turn it into at this stage?
You speak Zamoran?
That's a very Good point. But I can speak to people in their minds.
I admire the thought, but they're attached to a hive mind. They haven't really got anything to say, really. Yes, but
if we kill all the Zamron that's there, then surely there has to be some kind of discordance.
Yes, I think that is plan in general. Kill all Zamron.
Yeah.
That's out there.
If we kill all but one, there's going to be pretty much the exact same level of discordance.
But maybe we save the hive mind from that particular fleet, and they will know more. They'll be attached to the...
I appreciate you want to get Hugh out of this scenario, but I can't guarantee that will happen. Maybe it's safe to get one of these clean ships.
I just want to know if they create honey or gay...
As wasp people, they don't create honey. They just create misery at picnics.
I'm with Rebook.
Everyone knows that bees create honey, moths create mustard.
Wait, don't...
What? Oh, shit, no, what? That can't be true.
I don't know enough to dispute this fact.
Yeah, I feel like that's not true, but I don't know enough about moths or mustard to dispute this fact.
It is widely known.
And you say it with such confidence.
Wait, no. That's just the colour and the liquid colour that is made when you squash a wasp.
Tom Owen, Aaron, and Mike, I want us all to roll intelligence checks.
Okay.
Right now.
That's not my bag.
I'm doing this too.
I got a 4.
That's an 11 for Rebook.
Mike?
19.
Well, I got a natural 20. So me and Mike are well aware that moths don't produce mustard. Aaron and Tom, as far as you're concerned, moths produce mustard.
I refuse to even roll a die because I know...
You posed the question, so you don't need to roll it down. You know the truth.
I'm convinced because I have a lack of contrary evidence to the fact, but I am very open to my mind being changed on this.
I think really being out in the wild of Unenda for 200 years would have noticed one way or the other.
The famous Unendan mustard wasp.
Tom, this is nothing to do with the game.
This is in general.
This is to do with reality.
We rolled for trivia.
Moths produce mustard, okay?
Yeah. Now the real question is, which insect creates ketchup?
That's fleas, obviously.
See, I'd have gone ladybird.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Too obvious.
We're too easily going off topic at the minute.
It's uncharacteristic, I know.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like us.
I've never seen it happen before.
High standards of the Esposito podcast.
We could open a wasp farm in fucking Mars.
I can't think of anything worse than opening up a wasp farm.
Please, for the love of God, don't take them off Earth.
And a hornet
if
farm,
we ever get off this planet as a species, don't take fucking wasps with us.
Did you know that wasp breeders have the highest yield of any other animal seller in the pet business?
I believe everything you say at this stage.
The pet business. Who keeps fucking wasps as pets?
I'm just imagining like a really like sort of cowed person just flinching as they walk their wasp on a tiny little lead.
I prefer wasp to bee because when he stings me, he doesn't cry.
Wasps are surprisingly cheap, but also surprisingly affectionate.
Wasp's got a little muzzle on his sting.
Plus, you get an ongoing supply of horseradish.
Stop it.
Wait, what?
Many people think that horseradish comes from
many
the common
people.
Horse.
Many people.
Many people believe.
How many people?
Incorrectly and erroneously. The horseradish comes from the common earth horse, but actually, horseradish comes from the wasp. So we should actually call it wasp radish. Or
that explains why it's so spicy. It,
Polish wasabi.
Common knowledge among all wasp pet owners.
Oh, I am. God. I am. The Polish wasabi.
Oh. I wish there was some horsefly. Alright, okay, you guys can probably at the end of this next leg of the mission become moguls with horseradish.
No.
I'm fucking crying.
I know where Dumas is going to end up. I can
what
see the character right
Kew
now.
Gardens. Fucking chasing butterflies saying, I want margarine, you bastard.
A horsefly farmer.
That's don't a be silly. Margarine don't come from butterflies.
Mayonnaise comes from butterflies.
Mayonnaise comes from voles.
You just have to milk them right.
Aye. If you do it too fast, it comes out too thin, so you got to do it slow so it comes out nice and creamy.
Oh,
my
God.
Christ.
Now I know why Dumas was selling shit on the black market, and I don't know what he was selling, but I'm sure we'll find out.
Now I know why you cry.
Black market was. Well, we used to call it the black and yellow market, but
oh my God. The Unenden wet market.
All right, now we've won. That's Espacito done. That's Espagenesis finished.
Oh, but this is all staying in. This is fucking golden.
Oh. I know we say it a lot. I know we say often that we've won Espagenesis. But honestly, I think this time, that's it. We're done. Guys. We've solved all of the problems. We've answered all the questions. There are no riddles left to unweave. That's it. That's Espagenesis finished.
And Alexander wept for there were no more kingdoms to conquer.
Well, there was no more bullshit to peddle.
I don't know. I'm pretty sure you got some more in the tank.
All right. It's very hard to come back from shit like that. So, as you maneuver to enter the northeast hemisphere of Mars, you can see from orbit the glittering effect of the local stars' light reflecting off the many biodomes that cover the planet's dusty red surface. There are occasional Zamorin patrols, again, that sweep through the area, these groups of 8 fighters. But based on your piloting maneuvers before, you are able to evade them as well. You approach a fairly isolated area of Mars. It's off on a small plateau that is separated by some canyons that run around it, creating a sort of an island, but an island in a sea of land. And you can see this scorch mark of where this fighter has crashed, and there are bits and pieces strewn across the pathway. And as you approach, you can also see there are still some live Zamorin there who all look up as your ships approach. So they are aware you're there.
Can we just shoot them with the weapons in the ship?
Yeah, sure.
Oh. Blam, blam.
So hard you're flying, you can't shoot. Dumas, you can use the guns. You can also roll for Boltrov using guns. And similarly, Rebook, you can use guns and you can sort of roll for Todd or Jimmo using guns.
Yeah, for Todd, he's probably got higher dexterity.
Yeah, I can shoot.
All right.
Before my primary mate goes down to shoot some guns, I'm going to give him a bit of guidance so he can roll a d4. Not guidance, it's called amplifiability. So Reboot gets a d4 to his next roll.
All right, thank you.
So, can you roll attacks then? So, Tom, for Beltrov, you're adding 7 to the attack rolls. For Rebook, you're adding 6 to Todd's attack rolls. Rebook, you get plus d4 to yours.
Cool.
Just so you know, you can see 3 figures. There are, you recognize one as a centurion, one of the more imposing commanders of Zamorin units. The other two seem to be just standard soldiers.
I'll be honest, this does say an ability check. I don't know if that counts as an attack roll, to be honest.
No, it doesn't.
Well, you've got that for another minute. So if you do need to do an ability check, reboot.
If we crash horribly, I need to roll out of the burning wreckage.
That's a saving throw, I'm going to say.
No, if I'm rolling out acrobatically from the burning wreckage. After already being on fire.
We'll have to wait and see, cool. Tom.
Okay, I'm going to... acknowledging the big guys, because I've seen them before, Reboot's going to take a shot at one of those.
Yeah, there's only one of the big guys. There's two small guys, one big guy.
Yeah. Reboot's going to take a shot at that. Is that with the proficiency in dex?
Yes.
Cool. 15.
Okay, and you're aboard the Golden Rose.
Which is obviously 7d12 damage, because the Golden Rose is the best ship in the universe.
Roll 2d4, and then add the dex.
8.
Okay. You fire down and you deal a shitload of damage to that guy.
Pew pew. Pew pew pew.
Pew pew pew. It's a barrage, and a lot of dust is raised by these strikes onto the surface of the planet. But as the dust sort of starts to settle, you can see that although he is still there, there are a couple of limbs that are a little bit limper and hanging off loosely. There are huge gashes and dents and bits missing from the sort of carapace armor that encapsulates the creature. So yes, you hurt it, I suppose, is the summary of that.
Sweet. That's why I'm here. And, well, who's the other guy in our guns?
Todd.
Todd. Breaking Bad Todd. Am I rolling for him as well?
Yeah.
Oh, that's worse. That's a 13 altogether.
It hits very nearby, but doesn't manage to actually do any damage. You can see the creature sort of dives to one side and rolls out the way of this onslaught.
Bloody hell, Todd.
Beltrov and Dumas.
I think we'll both focus fire down the big one.
Okay.
So that's a 23 for me.
That'll hit. Do you want to roll a d8, add your deck?
And an 18 for Beltrov.
Also hits. So for both of those, roll a d8. For yours, add your dex. For Beltrov's, add 3.
Okay. Oh, wow. Well, I've really shown Beltrov up there.
You claim that, but I don't know if that's true. She might have shown you up.
No, I showed her up. That's how it works.
Mm-hmm.
So I've rolled an 11, and she's rolled a 4.
As the dust clears from this one, there is a large crater where this creature was. And just like scorch marks and dust and a little bit of red mist flying off, there is nothing left.
Focus fire.
There are, however, two other centurions there.
At this point, can I... comes to Jimmo and say, Jimmo, mate, fancy a piece of those?
Yes, I think you know I do. I think we can all agree. I'll fix my... Sorry, I don't know why they're all becoming cartoon characters. I'll fix my eyebrows in angry position and jump down.
Darren, mate, take us down. And I'm going to go and join Jimmo as well.
Sure. As you do this, the two Zamorin troops start firing up at the ship. But honestly, it scratches. It does nothing. I don't even know why I rolled dice. The damage is so minute that it's scratching paintwork on both ships.
Let the Malachi have his fun, mate. He needs this. He's been waiting. Watch him work.
So, the Golden Rose is lowering.
Yeah.
Opening the door. I assume you put on spacesuits.
Yeah. They're imagine they're in the airlock and he's suiting up. I come in and I also suit up.
Just so you know, the Golden Rose has two ways of exiting. There's the airlock on the top of the ship, and then there is a hangar bay on the bottom where you can sort of lower it. You can lower a gangplank or lower a huge section of the ship that works as a ramp and run down that.
Hangar bay style.
What's happening on the HMS Dendu ship?
I mean, I don't see why we should surrender our advantage of being on the ship and just switch targets, I guess. Just mop up the rest.
All right. Dumas, Beltroff, what are you doing?
Yeah, mopping up. I reckon.
All right, so the Golden Rose starts to lower itself down and manages to land, and the door starts opening, and you can see Jimmo and Dora sort of charging out, but you have enough time to get some shots in on the two remaining Lamoran troops there, if you want to roll for it. You don't have to.
Well, yeah, I'll just keep on firing.
All right. Are you and Beltroff shooting the same target or separate targets?
Yeah, we're focusing fire again.
Okay.
That's an 11 and a 15, so not great.
One of them hits. Which one hit?
Beltroff.
So she's showing you up now.
She really does.
Yeah, roll a d8 and add 3 to it.
Yeah, it's 11.
Yeah, that one is, again, a tiny, tiny, tiny speck of dust in a crater that appears as the dust settles. There is still one remaining, though, who, seeing Jimmo and Dora charge out and realizing that the fire is doing nothing to the ships, turns aim at Dora. 25 to hit.
What?
Yeah, I think you all know that hits.
Yeah, I don't really know why. That wasn't a question.
God damn.
There's terrible damage there. You take 5 damage as this shoots into you.
Dora's pretty squishy, and it's not that bad.
As it hits, you hear a slight hiss as atmosphere starts to escape your suit, but it is quickly filled in by a gel that seals the hole.
Cool.
You lost a little bit of atmosphere, and this suit is definitely weakened a little bit now. But you took a bit of damage, and that was about it. Then I guess I'm going to let you roll initiative for you and for Jimmo. I'm going to let someone else control Jimmo. Hud, you can control Jimmo. Go for it.
Hey, cool. I rolled a 3 naturally, so whatever, add that to whatever his dex is.
All right. Mike?
I got an 18.
It's your turn next then, Mike.
Okay. How far away is the Samurai?
I'd say about 40 feet away.
Okay, I'm just going to go and hit him with a Psy Blast then.
Go for it.
Psy Blast, motherfucker! 20, non-natural.
That will hit.
Okay, 7 points of damage. And I will stay on the ramp of the ship, and I'll just say in the comments to Jimmo, I'll say, all yours, mate. Go charge at the cunt.
Dumas and Rebook, can you both roll initiative as well?
17 for Rebook.
Oh, geez, that's bad. 5.
17 and 5. All right, Rebook, you're up next.
Can I safely target the Zamoran with a cannon on the underside of the ship? Like Millennium Falcon style?
Yes.
Cool. I'm going to do that then. I'm rolled a 3, so I'm assuming that misses.
Yeah, you fire straight over the horizon. Next up, we have Jimmo.
Right, so Jimmo, he's got his ground blade in hand. He's going to move 30 feet, and then Zamoran was 40 feet away, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And then he's going to use an action surge, take an additional move to get in combat with him.
Yep.
And then he's going to hit him with his grand blade.
Go for it.
Ooh, I think that might be a hit. So that is 18. That's 25, non-natural.
Yes, that will hit.
And that's 12 points of damage.
Okay. Next up, it is Dumas. So you've got Jimmo engaged in combat with a Zamoran soldier.
Zamoran soldier.
I'm still on the ship's guns, aren't I?
Yeah.
I'm going to find it quite hard, I think, with a ship's gun to pinpoint one person who's in.
It is going to be tricky, yeah.
I don't think I'm accurate enough to just not blow away Jimmo, am I?
You are aware it would be very difficult to pinpoint an individual target in melee combat with another character that you didn't want to hit.
Can I ready an action, and if at any point they separate, to fire on the one that Jimmo's fighting?
Yeah, cool. At this point, The Zamaron is going to sweep up to attack. I'm trying to think of a way of describing this without it just being really weird. He's going to try and use his stinger to attack Jimmo. That's terrible, though. That's a 14 to hit. So that doesn't hit. And that was the end of its turn. So then we're back to Dora.
Where's the ship from here?
The ship's about 60 feet away, just behind Jimmo and the Zamaron that are in combat.
Cool. I'll run up 30 feet just behind what's going on. I'll take a pop at the Zamaron with my Psy Blast again.
Treat yourself.
For a 24.
I think you know that hits.
Hits for 9 points of damage, and that is, what is that? Psychic damage.
And you see the creature rears its head back. It's very twitchy. It's a movement you've seen before when you've hit them with Psy Blast, and it's definitely very uncomfortable for them. It's looking tattered. This is looking like a tattered Zamaron.
I say to Jimmo, as my bonus action, come on, mate, you've got this. Take his bloody wings.
Next is Rebook.
So I'm in the same situation as well, where I can't get a shot off without potentially endangering.
Yes, that does seem likely.
Rebook's going to mutter to himself, "Why? We're flying around. They couldn't hit us. Why would we engage on the ground? What is wrong with these people?" And just run and dash as far as he can down from the gun onto the surface of the planet.
It's going to take you a couple of turns.
Yeah.
Jimmo, then.
Okay, Jimmo's going to use his imbued strike to get advantage on his attack roll and add his constitution to damage. That's a 27 to hit.
Yeah, that'll hit.
17 points of damage.
Jimmo just managed to, on command from Dora, just clips off both wings with a fairly hearty swing and then sticks his ground blade straight through the thorax of the Zamaron creature that fairly abruptly just stops moving, twitches a little bit, and slides off the blade. I did forget to do its turn, but I feel like it wasn't going to take anyone down, so that's not really a big deal. At this point, you do hear Dr. Rich go over the radios. They're probably informed that there's been an assault and that there's someone here, so it might be best to move quickly, if you will.
Good job if we're on the planet already, though, right? Let's go.
Right, what are you doing?
Straight over to the crashed Zamaron ship.
Okay.
Jimmo's going to put away his ground blade and draw his heavy rifle, and he's going to watch Dora's back as she goes into the ship, and he's going to keep an eye on the horizon.
All right. So there is a crashed wreckage of a ship. You can make your way towards the cockpit of it. There are a number of elements that make up the cockpit, so you kind of need to isolate which is the nav computer and then extract it.
All right, Richie, talk me through it, mate.
Oh, I've never actually seen a Zamaron fighter up close. It's a little bit harder than just sort of describing it to you.
Anybody else?
Don't look at me.
Could you try and figure it out yourself, maybe?
Why the bloody hell do we bring you if you're not the Zamaron expert? I thought that was the expressed reason for you being on this fucking trip.
Just to back up, that is exactly why you are here.
If it weren't for me, you'd be trying to board a Zamaron hive ship in order to steal this information. So if I may be so bold, I've saved you a lot of pain already.
I don't know, your voice is pain enough. Okay, so I need to get into the cockpit, right? Can I make an investigation check or some kind of mechanics check, maybe?
Maybe computers?
Like, it would be computers to try and identify which is likely to be the nav computer.
Right. Well, if anybody else wants to run down here quickly to help.
Hud's going to try and bring down the ship close to where the crash Zamaron ship is. And
I did get a 17 on my computer's check.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, you can identify a system that you think is probably a nav computer. It looks intact. Nothing's quite operational, so it's quite hard to tell. Based on your experience of being aboard other ships, this is where it would be likely what it would look like. So you're pretty confident that that's a nav computer.
Do I have any idea how to extract it?
That would be a mechanics role.
Okay, I am better at those. I'm going to cast Amplify Ability on myself. Okay, 18.
That was just what you needed. You managed to quite delicately remove this system from this crashed Zamoran fighter. The speed at which you've managed to identify and remove it is quite impressive. You're a little bit chuffed with yourself.
Irish mate, if I'm stealing something, I'm very, very, very proficient at it.
That is so unfortunately in character. I love it.
It's almost like pouring tequila into a scientist's coffee. It's easy. Second nature.
I mean, I can't argue with them. And it is crazy that you're rolling so well as Dora, giving you 5 ones as Jeff. Just
wait till Thursday.
Saved all you looked up today.
Yeah, this could be a weird thing. I don't know.
But yeah, you have successfully and without any real difficulty managed to extract this nav computer. There are, however, you can hear the sound of approaching fighters. You look up, you can't really see anything yet, but you can hear there's a sonic boom. There is a high-pitched whine of engines approaching.
Back to the ship, I say to Jimmo, start the engines up, Darren. Let's get the fuck out of Mars.
As you start running up the ramp, okay, one of them hits. There is a rock of, not rock, that's a ridiculous thing. There is this eruption of sand and dirt as a blast strikes next to where the ship is. Then you feel the ship itself buckle and crumble as it is hit by another shot. But you manage to get aboard unharmed. But there is, however, a flight of fighters that have entered the space that you're currently in with both ships set down.
Guys, I might have to call it there before we get into another fight.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah,
sounds
probably
cool. Great.
Force that Jimmo fight. He needed something. He needed a kill.
Yeah,
I felt bad for him.
Jimmo needs blood.
He's satiated for now.
For now.
Exactly. I feel as though if you don't give him that, at some point he's going to start raging.
So you've managed to successfully retrieve a nav computer whilst accidentally starting a combat in atmosphere with a wing of 8 Zamoran fighters.
Excellent.
We can take him. We can take him.
And they bravely ran away.